Welcome, and thank you for standing by. All participants are on listen-only until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. To ask a question, press star one on your touch-tone phone, record your name, and I will introduce you. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would like to now turn the call over to Reed Simmons. Sir, you may begin.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining this webinar. I am Reed Simmons, and I'm a program director in the Division of Information and Intelligence Systems of SAIS and the lead program director for the Smart and Autonomous Systems Program. I am joined today by Sami Khan, who is a program director in the Computer and Network Systems Division of SAIS. Before we start, I'd like to outline the schedule. The webinar will be 1 hour in duration, and we will present for approximately 30 to 40 minutes, and then we'll take questions for the remainder of the hour. The question and answer session will be guided by the operator, so please follow the instructions from her when we have finished our part of the presentation. We have quite a few participants today, so there may be some delay before you get an opportunity to ask a question. In addition, starting tomorrow, you may send questions to the email address listed on the bottom of each slide, aside from the title slide, and we will try to respond to them promptly. As you are probably aware, the Smart and Autonomous Solicitation is new for fiscal year 2017. It's a collaborative effort within SAIS, the Director for Computer and Information Science and Engineering, IIS, the Division of Information and Intelligence Systems, is represented by myself and Program Director Jay Yang. CNS, Division of Computer and Network Systems, is represented by Program Director Sami Khan and David Corman. And CCF, the Division of Computing and Communication Foundations, is represented by Jack Snoik. Zeta Boghossian from the Office of International Science and Engineering handles issues related to international collaborations. And we are ably supported by Daniel Hicks, a AAAS fellow with a background in philosophy and ethics. Let me begin by calling on Erwin Ganchandani, the Deputy Assistant Director in SAIS, to welcome you and say a few words about how Smart Enough Systems program fits into the broader picture at NSF.
Thank you very much, Reed, and good afternoon, everyone. As Reed mentioned, my name is Erwin Ganchandani, and I am the Deputy for the Computer and Information Science and Engineering, or SAIS, Director here at NSF. And on behalf of all of my colleagues across the Foundation, it's really a pleasure to welcome you to this webinar today. We're delighted to be able to introduce to you the Smart and Autonomous Systems, or SNAS as we've been calling it here internally, program solicitation this afternoon. As you'll hear from Reed and the rest of the team shortly, the focus of the SNAS program really is to support fundamental research addressing how intelligent physical systems sense, perceive, and operate in environments that are dynamic, uncertain, and unanticipated. I want to make an important point here at the beginning, and you'll hear more about this from Reed in just a few minutes. The SNAS solicitation really is the culmination of much conversation in the community. It's conversation by leaders at the interstices of cyber-physical systems, robotics, and autonomy more concretely over the last year or more. And indeed, there was a terrific workshop that took place back in 2015 funded by NSF and led by Vijay Kumar from the University of Pennsylvania and a whole host of other folks, some of whom I'm sure are joining us this afternoon. The workshop focused on fundamental research directions in CPS, in robotics, as well as in autonomy. Now, we've also seen tremendous interest at the national level in autonomy more generally. In fact, this was a topic of discussion at the Frontiers Conference hosted by the White House and President Obama in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, just last month. And timed with that conference was the release of two very important reports relating to autonomous systems as well as AI more generally, including a strategic plan for federal research and development, or R&D, efforts in this space. Now, autonomy is also a core part of the human technology frontier, which is one of the 10 big ideas that NSF Director Dr. Franz Cordova announced back in May at the National Science Board meeting. Indeed, the human technology frontier is an opportunity space for us to be able to catalyze interdisciplinary research as well as the education necessary to understand the benefits and risks associated with new technologies as we prepare for the future of work and productivity, and that, of course, includes autonomy. Under the human technology frontier, we have the Smart and Autonomous Systems Program, as well as the National Robotics Initiative that NSF has funded for the better part of the last 5 years, and the Cyber Physical Systems Program, which is now in its 10th year here at NSF. So I want to say just how excited we are about the Smart and Autonomous Systems Program solicitation and how much we're looking forward to seeing some really exciting proposals from all of you in the research community. Before I close, I want to acknowledge some of the folks who have worked tirelessly behind the scenes to help make this a possibility. In particular, Lynn Parker, the Division Director for Information and Intelligence Systems, or IIS division here in SIES, whose leadership has been integral to coordinating the autonomy efforts, as well as the efforts across the federal government in this space. And I also want to acknowledge Reed and Sami and the rest of the NSF team of program directors, Jay Yang, David Corman, and Jack Snoyink as well, for all of their efforts in helping to pull this program together. Let me now pass things over to Reed so that we can walk you through the specifics of this program. Thank you.
Thank you, Erwin. So the discussion today is intended to introduce you to the Smart Autonomous Systems Program, help you prepare and submit proposals that are consistent with the goals of the program. We will begin with an overview of why the program is created, what scientific and societal needs it fulfills, and discuss the overarching goal of the program and what research themes the program is focusing. We'll then discuss the solicitation in more detail, introducing the two classes of projects supported by the program, their budget ranges, and information about the anticipated size and number of awards. We'll then discuss the scope of the Smart and Autonomous Systems Program and its relationships to other cross-cutting programs at NSF, specifically the National Robotics Initiative and Cyber Physical Systems Program. Finally, we'll present some details that proposers should keep in mind when submitting proposals and answering questions. As mentioned, we'll take questions by phone at the end, or you can submit questions starting tomorrow to the email address listed at the bottom of each slide. The focus of this program is autonomy. So what exactly is autonomy? Dictionary definitions vary somewhat, but tend to agree that autonomy implies independence in making decisions, especially when making ethical decisions. Note that the second definition on this slide states that autonomous systems can make choice free of outside influence, but this does not imply that autonomous systems must be free of any outside influences, only that they have the freedom to disregard those influences. So, for instance, a truly autonomous system can take commands from a human, but also decide to disregard them if some other, more critical issues arise. Finally, a recently released OSTP report on the future of AI states that autonomy implies the ability to adapt behavior to different contexts. This is in contrast to automation, where machines behave precisely as specified by a person according to a fixed set of rules. For true autonomy, it is not sufficient to know what to do, but also involves knowing why actions should be taken, reasoning about the consequences of the actions, adapting decisions to changing circumstances, and understanding the context in which certain actions may not be appropriate. Systems that interact with the physical world, such as robotics and cyber-physical systems, are becoming increasingly prevalent in society, from manufacturing to healthcare to service industries to helping to monitor and maintain our infrastructure and natural resources. In the near future, we expect that they will be operating everywhere within our society, as well as places that are difficult or impossible for humans to go. The overall aim of such systems is to assist and or augment people in their work and life, but to do so, it is often the case that the systems need to be highly autonomous. Note that this is not to say that autonomous systems should exclude human interaction, but rather that they should minimize the need for human intervention. For instance, just as we as people interact with one another on a regular basis, that does not contradict our beliefs that we are autonomous creatures. Likewise, our systems may interact with people, but still be highly autonomous, monitoring their own functioning and repairing themselves or asking for assistance when needed. They should be aware of their own capabilities and limitations, anticipate potential problems, and not act outside of their competency. To enable long-term autonomy, systems will need to learn and adapt to changes. These include changes in the environment, either short or long-term, changes to the system's hardware, such as failing components or hardware degradation, and changes to the system's tasks and missions, including learning new tasks without the need for explicit programming. Finally, with the great power of autonomous systems comes great responsibility. Autonomous systems will need to act ethically, explicitly reasoning about trade-offs between the achievement of mission goals and social good. For instance, if a child darts into a roadway, an autonomous vehicle might need to decide between swerving out of its lane and crashing versus hitting the child. Given the uncertainty about what might occur, for instance, the child might stop in time, cars in the other lane might themselves swerve to avoid the accident, the decision about what is the most ethical action to take is often not easy to make. But if we desire our systems to be truly autonomous, researchers will need to address such concerns. Okay. I've been notified that we have lost the slides, but presumably that people can still hear over WebEx, and we are trying to get the slides back. But I'm going to continue the presentation regardless. Nothing can possibly go wrong. So we're now talking about more about the needs of the program. This was mentioned by Erwin. The need for autonomous systems is highlighted in several recent reports. In September 2015, an NSF-sponsored workshop took place to consider future directions in cyber-physical systems and robotics. The workshop participants highlighted autonomy as a potentially disruptive technology and therefore strongly called for programs that help advance the science of autonomy. The report presents drivers and metrics for developing and evaluating autonomous systems, and this report was very influential in the formation of the Smart and Autonomous Systems Program, as Erwin had mentioned. More recently, about a month ago, OSTP released two reports, one on preparing for the future of AI, and the second, a strategic plan for research and development in artificial intelligence. While those reports cover all of AI and touch on a broad range of research areas, they also call out autonomy and learning as two of the critical elements for future AI systems. Finally, in its 2016 report, the 100-year study on AI raises concerns about the need for ethical and social considerations in the development of autonomous systems. While the report mainly concerns itself with ethical issues involved in creating such systems, it does give nod to issues surrounding the ethical behavior of such systems themselves. For instance, it notes that, quote, ethical questions are also involved in programming cars to act in situations in which human injury or death is inevitable, especially when there are split-second choices to be made about whom to put at risk. Okay, we next move from needs to the goal of the program. So hopefully the needs has already been, along with some of the concerns that they raised, have been already made clear. These issues help give rise to the Smart and Autonomous Systems Program solicitation, whose goal is to foster a community dedicated to advancing fundamental research into providing intelligent physical systems with a high degree of autonomy, especially for long-term autonomy. So to start, what are intelligent physical systems, or IPS? For the purposes of this program, a physical system is an integrated hardware and software system that interacts with an external physical environment, such as a car driving on a road, a mobile robot that travels through an office, an underwater vehicle, a smart sensor network monitoring the environment, or a smart grid keeping up with changes in supply and demand, as well as changes in the physical network itself. Intelligent physical systems are physical systems that exhibit five characteristics. They are cognizant, taskable, reflective, ethical, and knowledge-rich. We will go through each of these characteristics in turn, but I want to point out that the research themes of the program are aligned with these five characteristics, and every proposal to the Smart and Autonomous Systems Program must address at least one of these themes. It is allowable for proposals to cover additional themes as long as primary focus is on one or more of these five characteristics. So let's go through the characteristics one at a time. The first characteristic and the first research theme of the program is that IPS must be cognizant of their own capabilities and limitations. The issue here is that in order to operate in complex domains with minimal human supervision or intervention, the systems must recognize when they have gotten into trouble and adapt their behaviors accordingly. More prudently, IPS should anticipate when they possibly may be heading for trouble and act to forestall any impending problems. This includes reasoning about possible exogenous events and reasoning about possible consequences of actions, including reasoning about alternative or contingent behaviors that may be applicable in particular situations. IPS should also reason about when they do not have the capability to deal with the current situation and not continue trying fruitless actions. In such situations, options include safeguarding the system and asking people for assistance. In the latter case, it is important for the system to provide suitable situation awareness to the person, including explaining what they have been doing and why in ways that are readily understandable by people. And in cases where the system is handing control off to people in dynamic situations such as driving, the request for assistance must be made in enough time for the person to attain situation awareness and take over control. Such explanatory capabilities can also be used for introspection, where the system uses meta-reasoning to understand how its own behavior has resulted in certain outcomes in order to avoid bad outcomes or reinforce good outcomes in the future. As an illustrative example, consider a self-driving vehicle that is operating in autonomous mode. It has knowledge of the rules of the road, predictive models of how other vehicles are likely to behave, and models about how the conditions of the road, visibility, and the health of the vehicle itself impact its ability to drive safely. In situations where it determines that its driving ability is marginal, it should improve safely, for instance, by slowing down or leaving more space for the vehicle in front. As the situation worsens, the vehicle should alert the driver, explain what conditions led it to doubt its ability to drive, and drive as safely as possible until the person takes over. Note that in this case, while there is eventual human intervention, the vehicle itself is making decisions about when to seek control, and similarly should decide when it is feasible to take back control back from the person. Moving on to slide 10, taskable characteristics. IPS should have the ability to reliably carry out high-level goal-oriented objectives, accepting constraints on their behaviors, such as preferring optimal motion over energy efficiency or vice versa, depending on the specifics of the mission. They should be capable of basing their actions on the particulars of the context while still taking longer-term objectives into account. To aid in achieving their high-level goals, IPS may need to reason about their own sensing and communication behaviors, as well as taking actions that help them better achieve their own situation awareness. IPS should be able to achieve a wide range of tasks in diverse environments without the need for extensive programming. People use many modalities for describing goals, including natural language, gestures, and graphically, such as by drawing maps. Similarly, we expect IPS to be able to accept instructions using similar modalities, and if necessary, IPS should be, engage in multimodal dialogue with humans to clarify any ambiguity in the goals. In addition, IPS should be easily interruptible, postponing a current task to carry out another more important task, and then returning when feasible to complete the original task, or to indicate when future progress is not possible. Ideally, IPS should reason about these issues. For instance, if achieving a higher priority task may preclude finishing the current lower priority task, or if the lower priority task is nearly done, then the system might decide to complete the lower priority task if it determines that by doing so, it will not jeopardize the higher priority task. As an example, and pardon if this is not completely accurate with respect to actual underwater research, consider an autonomous underwater glider whose mission is to track and map the routes of certain species of fish within a given section of the ocean. The system might know, for instance, how to recognize the species, at what depth they normally swim, and how they use currents to travel. Based on this, the glider might plan to move to a location where it might find the fish and then start tracking, anticipating the likely movements based on knowledge of the currents in the area. In addition, the glider must act to conserve energy to enable it to complete its multi-week mission. It must reason about when to surface in order to download data and relocalize, and it must be retaskable when it does surface if people want to modify or even completely change the mission. Moving on to reflective, the reflective characteristics. By reflective, we mean the ability to monitor, diagnose, and repair autonomously. IPS should be able to, one, reflect on how well they are operating in the face of component failure or degradation, two, locate the source of the problem, perhaps using active probing, and three, repair the problem, perhaps by using alternate behaviors that bypass the failed or failing component. Critically, IPS should be able to gracefully handle problems unanticipated by the designers. That is, they should be able to handle situations that were not initially modeled or were modeled inaccurately. Reflective systems should also learn to compensate for such failures, improving their behaviors over time. Learning can be through accumulated experience, observations of other IPS operating in similar conditions, observations of humans performing the task, or explicit instructions from people. IPS should be able to integrate multiple sources of knowledge to learn how to effectively handle new situations and new tasks. An example of a reflective system is a network of sensors with reconfigurable hardware and software. The network would monitor its own functioning and diagnose problems that arise over time. Some of the problems may be solved through reconfiguration to avoid problem areas. Some of the problems may avoid experimenting with the network to see how it behaves with the faulty components and use that acquired knowledge to improve its performance in terms of its capabilities for sensing, data processing, data storage, sensor placement, etc. As a last resort, the system may ask people for help, explaining the situation and perhaps describing what actions the people must take in order to return performance to the desired state. Finally, the fifth characteristic is ethical. Ethics is one aspect of intelligent systems that has only recently begun receiving much attention by the autonomous systems community. In general, determining whether an action is, quote, ethical involves reasoning about the consequences of actions with respect to achieving the goals of the system and the consequences with respect to the overall social good. This social good can be defined both in terms of societal norms and legal rules. Sometimes the task and social objectives are in sync, and the system can simultaneously achieve its goals and promote the social welfare. Sometimes, however, the objectives are in conflict, and the system must reason about the trade-offs involved, taking risks, costs, and benefits into account and deciding what to do next in order to maintain the social good. As an example of ethical reasoning, consider an aerial vehicle that is tasked with searching for a fugitive who is suspected of hiding out in a residential neighborhood. The vehicle is tasked with scouting the area and sending back photos to law enforcement, who will determine if the fugitive can be identified. As the vehicle flies around the neighborhood, it should be aware of the privacy concerns of its citizens and try to avoid taking photos of innocent residents when at all possible. On the other hand, the privacy concerns should not impede the system from achieving its goal of helping to catch the fugitive. Perhaps a more graphical example is the one presented earlier, an autonomous vehicle that must make a split-second decision whether to swerve into oncoming traffic to avoid hitting a child who is darted into the road. Injury and perhaps death is likely to occur in either case. Intelligent physical systems should recognize the associated moral imperatives and reasonably handle situations where multiple moral imperatives are in conflict. I'd now like to turn the presentation over to Sammy.
Thank you, Reed. For this program, there are two project classes. The foundational class encapsulates research projects that advance fundamental knowledge pertaining to the IPS. These projects must focus on at least one of the research themes as described earlier by Reed. Although it is not necessary to utilize a physical test bed for the project evaluation, a thoroughly documented evaluation plan is mandatory. The integrative class encapsulates research projects that focus on the integration of at least two or more of the five research themes as described earlier. Contrary to the foundational class, project evaluation must be done on a physical testbed. Moreover, because of the complexity of integration of at least two or more of the five research teams, we encourage the community to form teams of multiple PIs from diverse disciplines to propose projects in the integrative class. The anticipated funding for the Smart Autonomous Systems Program in the fiscal year 2017 is approximately $16.5 million. We are expecting to fund approximately 15 to 25 projects in the foundational class with a budget range of $350,000 to $700,000, and approximately 10 to 15 projects in the integrative class with a budget range of $500,000 to $1.4 million each. It is very important to note that in many NSF programs, the range of project class budgets are disjoint. The Smart and Autonomous Systems Program purposely has overlapping budget ranges to encourage PIs to submit to one class or the other, based primarily on their research objectives alone. Do not let the budget cap guide your research objectives. So now I'm going to talk about what proposals are good fits for the Smart and Autonomous Systems Program. All NSF programs promote established or anticipated research trust. The Smart and Autonomous Systems Program is no different. Proposals from the research community addressing the core foci of the program as outlined in the solicitation will be considered a good fit. These proposals will primarily address how autonomous systems that require little or no human intervention can be conceived. These systems should adapt to changes in the environment, mission, and capabilities by reasoning, learning, self-awareness, and planning. As stated in the program solicitation, these proposed projects must address at least one of the five research themes and must include an evaluation plan relevant to a well-described IPS. Proposers interested in exploring other research themes are strongly encouraged to contact the Smart and Autonomous Systems Cognizant Program Directors. Now I'm going to talk about what proposals are considered not a good fit for the Smart and Autonomous Systems Program. Proposals that are primarily focusing on only software agents or only hardware design will not be a good fit for the Smart and Autonomous Systems Program. NSF has several other programs that cater to such research activities. Moreover, proposals primarily focusing on low-level control, formal verification and validation, and proposals primarily focusing on security also will be not good fit for the Smart and Autonomous Systems Program. For proposals with such foci, we encourage the proposers to consider other existing NSF programs. Clarity on the scope of the Smart and Autonomous Systems Program may be better understood by drawing a contrast to closely related existing NSF programs. The Smart and Autonomous Systems Program is closely related to the National Robotics Initiative Program, NRI for short, and the Cyber Physical Systems Program, CPS for short. All of the three programs may have some commonalities. However, the NRI is primarily focused on research in core robots, human-robot interaction, self-interaction, collaboration, and augmentation. The CPS program is primarily focused on research in unmanned and robotic systems, collaborative control, fixed initiative systems, design and real-time systems verification, and trustworthiness. Contrary to the NRI and CPS programs, the Smart and Autonomous Systems Program is primarily focused on achieving autonomy, being self-aware, the system being adaptable, system exhibiting high-level planning and reasoning, and the system behaving ethically. I'm going to talk about the eligibility requirements. Universities and colleges that are accredited and have a campus in the United States are eligible to submit proposals to the Smart and Autonomous Systems Competition. Moreover, nonprofit organizations and non-academic organizations, which may include research laboratories, museums, observatories, professional societies, and similar organizations within the United States that are associated with educational and research activities, are also eligible to submit proposals to the Smart Autonomous Systems competition. Do note that at most two Smart and Autonomous Systems submissions are allowed in a given year for any PI, OPI, or senior personnel. Again, the constraint on senior personnel is to be specially noted. It also is important to note that personnel associated with industry or for-profit research laboratories are not eligible to be PIs, but can be sub-awardees, provided that their budget is a fraction of the total award amount. Also important to note is that federally funded research and development centers can be sub-awardees if they provide unique resources unavailable elsewhere. Now I'm going to talk about proposal submission. For the fiscal year 2017, the Smart and Autonomous Systems Program has set forth a deadline of December 19, 2016 for the proposal submission. This deadline is for both classes of the proposals. We strongly encourage the community to carefully read the Smart and Autonomous Systems Solicitation and the Proposal and Award Policies Procedures Guide for a better understanding of the program and the proposal preparation. Do note that the Smart and Autonomous Systems Program mandates yearly project representation at the annual PI meeting to be held in Washington, D.C. Consequently, travel to the yearly PI meeting must be accounted for in the submitted project budgets. I want to talk about some of the logistics that are involved in submission. They would be corresponding to the supplementary and single copy documents. The Smart and Autonomous Systems Program will require proposals to detail a data management plan. It is the responsibility of the lead PI to submit a list of all project personnel and, where applicable, partner institutions. The list should include PIs and, where applicable, co-PIs, senior personnel, postdoctoral researchers, consultants, collaborators, sub-awardees, and project advisory committee members. A project with more than one PI must include a collaboration plan. The length of the plan must correspond to the complexity of the project. If a postdoctoral researcher is involved in the project, then a postdoctoral mentoring plan is mandatory to be included. It is also mandatory to include a single copy document that lists all of the collaborators of the proposal's PIs, co-PIs, and senior personnel. To assist with generating a single copy document, we encourage the proposers to utilize the Excel template available at the following URL, www.nsf.gov/size/COLLAB. I'm going to talk about the review criteria. Proposals submitted to the National Science Foundation are evaluated for the intellectual merit and broader impact. In addition to the Foundation's review criteria, the Smart and Autonomous Systems Program will evaluate each submission on how the proposed research achieves a high degree of autonomy for an IPS. For the integrative projects, the Smart and Autonomous Systems Program will also evaluate each submission on the innovation in system integration and evaluations performed on physical test beds. In the end, on behalf of the National Science Foundation, we would like to thank you all for your time. We also thank you for your interest in programs at NSF. The presentation just made and the frequently asked questions will be made available in the subsequent days on the Smart and Autonomous Systems Program webpage. If you have any questions pertaining to the Smart and Autonomous Systems Program, then please send your questions via email to the following address, which is also detailed on the bottom of your slides. s@nsf.gov. If you want to ask any questions, please follow the directions of the operator to call in questions now. Operator, we are ready to take phone-in questions. Once again, on behalf of the National Science Foundation, we would like to thank you all for participating in this webinar.
Thank you again. If you would like to ask a question over the phone, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone, unmute your phone, record your name clearly after the prompt, and I will introduce you for your question. That's star 1 to ask a question. If you need to withdraw your question, please press star 2. One moment, please, for incoming questions.
Let me just say that we're sorry about some of the technical difficulties we had with the slides. We will post the webinar slides and the audio after the most 2 hours after the completion of the webinar. Trying to anticipate a question, one of the things that you may have noticed is that the budget ranges include both a minimum and a maximum range. And so the question is, well, obviously you can't exceed the maximum range, but the question is, why can't you go below the minimum range? Why not submit a proposal for less than $350,000? And our idea is that we're trying to build a community of researchers dedicated to this idea of autonomy. Is a very complex idea, and we want to make sure that the proposers into this program have sufficient sufficient interest
and engagement.
Thank you. Sufficient engagement in the process to warrant them to take on this very complex subject. Presumably, you can all figure out ways to make your budget fit within the ranges. The other thing I want to point out is that the ranges are on a per-project basis, not a per-proposal basis. So that is, if you submit a collaborative proposal, the range is the sum total of all the proposals that are part of the collaborative project.
Our first question over the phone is from Christopher Stewart. Your line is open.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I was hoping that you guys could elaborate on the experimental infrastructure that you're looking for and when you're looking for that. Would that be something that the proposal could talk about building and then experimenting on? Are you looking for that beforehand? And how, operating with real systems could mean just playing around with drones and doing things like that, or it could mean actually getting into real-world environments and dealing with political consequences, et cetera. Just wondering your thoughts.
Thank you, Chris, for your question. So there are many ways to look at it. I think at the end of the day, you have to convince everybody else that whatever the evaluation plan that you are proposing is sufficient for the amount of research that you are going to be contributing to the literature. If it involves a few drones, and that's the test bed, then that's sufficient enough. If it requires more elaborate test bed, you can certainly budget that in your proposal, and we'll entertain those requests as well. The scope of the test bed would correspond to the amount of research proposed.
I also would like to mention that the bulk of the funding should be for the research itself. This is not a infrastructure development program. If the infrastructure development would take up a significant amount of the budget, there are other programs at NSF that can support infrastructure development.
Also comment that the two different types of projects have different needs. For foundational projects, maybe less infrastructure project necessarily. And the others emphasizing that much more.
So again, to emphasize that the foundational projects do not require a physical test bed, the integrative projects do require a physical test bed, somehow defined.
Thank you.
Sure.
The next question is from Wei Wu. Your line is open.
Hi, just a quick, I want to clarify the hardware development because you said that the proposal actually shouldn't be just for hardware development. So does that mean that all the components, hardware components, has to be off-the-shelf components?
Some development is probably okay, but as Sammy indicated, it depends on the relationship between the amount of research you're doing and the amount of hardware development or infrastructure development you're doing. This is not a hardware development program. The hardware development should be a small aspect of the program as a whole. As I said, there are other places that NSF will support infrastructure development, and you could look at that as well. But the main focus of this is on the research and autonomy, the scientific aspects of autonomy, and hardware development, while it can be part of the program, needs to be a small amount part of the program.
Thank you.
Sure.
Again, if you would like to ask a question over the phone, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone, unmute your phone, record your name clearly after the prompt, and I will introduce you for your question. Currently, there are no questions in the queue.
I'm glad we did an excellent job of presenting the program, so there aren't any questions.
Please stand by. We have another question. Junaid Sadr, your line is open.
Go ahead.
Please check your mute button.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
All right, thank you. I was just saying thanks to the professors for presenting the webinar. I have a question that relates to more of a proposal belonging to either on the NRI umbrella or with the new SNS system. So going back to something that you said earlier about an underwater glider following fish, if there's a marine biologist working with a robot and all the interaction that happens between the robot and the diver is go track damselfish, for example, and the robot is equipped with all the algorithms for tracking a fish for most of the part of its mission. If a project covers problems like these, and I'm being very hand-wavy here, I do understand that, but if the stress is more on the development of the algorithms and the autonomous capabilities for the robot to track fish, do you think it belongs more in the SNS system, or should we look into the NRI project for this?
If the focus is on the autonomy of the underwater system, then it is an appropriate subject for the Smart Autonomous Systems Program. I want to emphasize that in application domains such as, you know, underwater tracking, monitoring of resources, the focus should not be on the application. The focus should be on the science behind the application. So, it's great to have a marine biologist, but you shouldn't be proposing to do marine biology. You should be proposing to do autonomy with marine biology with oceanography as the domain, and that would be appropriate.
Right. So that's exactly what I had in mind. But thanks for clarifying that. So thank you.
One of the things I should mention about NRI again is its theme is collaborative robots between humans and collaboration between human and robots. If the focus were to be in collaboration, you said it's not, but if it were to be on the collaborative aspects, then it may be more applicable to NRI than to smart autonomous systems.
Thank you again.
The next question comes from Nicola Bitzel. Your line is open.
Okay, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay, perfect. My question is, so you mentioned there are 5 research areas, and you said that we can apply to 1 or 2 and maybe have other components in our proposal. I was wondering, can we have all 5 areas, or should we just focus on one specific one? If we have more than one PI, should be each PI is focusing on a specific area? I was wondering if you could elaborate about this.
Well, So you're more than welcome to hit all the five research themes should your project need all those five themes. It is entirely up to the team how they think that the different expertise of the collaborators would complement each other. Those projects would vary from application to application to domain to domain. So it's entirely up to you. I'll leave it up.
I would just like to add that if you are considering submitting an integrative proposal, the focus there should be on the integration of the various technologies more than on the developing of five independent individual technologies. So when you're thinking about which class to propose to, think about whether you're developing fundamental individual technologies or, you know, pairs of technologies, or fundamentally looking, the fundamental question is looking at how these characteristics integrate in order to create a general, more autonomous system.
Great. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you.
The next question comes from Jeff Kirchner. Your line is open.
Yes, this is Jeff Kirchmar. I had a couple questions. One is, if you had a corporate partner that might have hardware that would be useful, how would you include them in your proposal? They probably would not be getting any money, but I was wondering how to include them. And then also, kind of a related question, if you had a collaborator from another country, is there a way to include them too?
Corporate. Corporations can be sub-awardees to a proposal, and that's perfectly legitimate. But the expectation is that they will receive a fraction of the total award. So they can't use collaboration with the university in order to essentially take the lion's share of the award. So they need to be a sub-awardee, a collaborator at a small fraction of the overall award. The question about international collaboration is still being firmed up. I would suggest that you contact Seta Bogosian, whose contact information can be found on the SNAS website, and ask her specifically about what you're interested in terms of international collaboration.
I think there's also a simpler answer, too, for just for the basic things. Your proposal is allowed to include a letter of collaboration, which basically says by the collaborator who's going to say, I basically agree to collaborate as described in the proposal. And so you would describe in the proposal the nature of the collaboration and the resources that you're going to be getting from the collaborator, and they would just agree to what was described in the proposal.
You said you had a couple questions. Were those the two?
Those are the two. One was about the company, and the other was about international collaboration.
Okay.
Could you spell the name? You said SATA. You said it very fast.
So you'll find it on the website. It says that the program
under agency contacts, section 8, the last one is Seta Bogosian, Bogosyan.
Great. Thank you.
At this time, there are no further questions. There are no further questions in the queue.
While we wait for the questions, let me elaborate on the first two questions that were asked. You can certainly ask for time spent on a test bed that is at another facility that can be at a national laboratory, that could be at a corporate facility, that could be a non-profit institution. To get your project evaluated. So you can certainly do that. The second question was hardware only. Can you propose that? Let me make it a little orthogonal and say, well, we also would discourage projects that would be only software agents. So if you're developing software that does not interact with the physical environment, that would not be a very good fit for this particular program. So that's kind of orthogonal to question on what if we just propose hardware only, because hardware on its own would not be an interactive entity.
We had a chat question asking, can we collaborate with national labs to write a proposal? In general, so national labs cannot be official collaborators. They, you know, so they can't be PIs, co-PIs. It is possible for federally funded research and development
centers.
Thank you. Centers to be, or FFRDCs, to be part of a proposal, but they have to be a subawardee, and in fact, they can only be part of the proposal if it can be demonstrated that they will provide unique capabilities that are not available elsewhere. In particular, as Sammy was mentioning, if they provide, for instance, a physical test bed that is not available elsewhere or not readily available elsewhere, they can be part of the proposal, and subaward can be given in order to have them provide that test bed and maintain it, facilitate the use of it during your evaluation.
The question being answered there is, can they be receive funds as part of an award more than can they be collaborators? They can certainly be collaborators and not receive funds. If you're asking about whether NSF funds can go to those type of agencies, that is usually discouraged unless there is something special that they are bringing.
Some unique circumstances have to be there. So you can certainly write that up in your proposal.
But it can certainly be included in the proposal, and a letter of collaboration can be included as part of a proposal.
Okay. I wanted to mention one other thing about the test beds. The preference in evaluation, test bed evaluation for the integrated proposals is real-world test beds. We realize that for many of the domains, such as smart grid, proposers are not going to have access to a real smart grid in order to test. And we understand that. Smaller versions, test bed versions, are perfectly understandable for those. What we want to avoid is our people, let's say, proposing something with mobile robots, and the evaluation is, I'm going to run this robot around in my lab for, you know, a couple hours. We expect for things like that that the evaluation plan is going to be much more in the realm of the type of environments that will be encountered by the real application. So someone mentioned underwater robots. That's a perfectly good test bed. There was another chat question. Could you elaborate on the knowledge risk aspect of the program? That's a fairly vague question that I'm really not sure what the questioner has in mind. If they can clarify it a little bit more, that would help a lot. I could talk about knowledge for a long time, but I think the questioner probably has something specific in mind that I'm not sure about.
We have more questions over the phone. The next question is from Trisha Shegan. Your line is open.
Oh, hi. This is Trisha Shegan. My question is the ethical reasoning aspect the required component to be included in the proposal? Oh, it's highly desired, can I say, just like that?
So once again, there are five research themes. You are not required to cover all five research themes. You are only required to cover at least one. So
okay.
If you want to look at, for instance, cognitive aspects and not ethical, that's fine. If you want to look at ethical and not taskable, that's fine. If you want to look at all five of them, that's fine, although I would say that given the size of the budget ranges of the awards, that's probably going to be very difficult to do. I mean, essentially you're solving the complete AI program problem in one proposal. I wouldn't recommend that, but you're welcome to do whatever you think is reasonable. But you have to, the requirement is to cover at least one of those five characteristics.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
The next question comes from Mohammed Afsi. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you for the presentation. I have a question. In one of your slides regarding the need, you had something under health care. And I work in the area of health care. My question is, could you give an example of a proposal that can be considered in this submission? And especially when it comes to healthcare, the balance is between science and application is that in most cases in healthcare, it is application. So is healthcare something that can be considered in this solicitation?
So I'll give an example, a healthcare example. A robot to assist elderly in their homes. A robot to do that would have to be very, very autonomous. And the aspects of dealing with the home environment and possibly the physical interaction with the elderly person would push the science of autonomy. Things that are very clinical oriented are best left to NIH to handle. They have a lot of programs in the use of advanced technology, robotics, cyber-physical systems in the healthcare environment. So if it's focused mostly on the application, I would say no, it is not a good fit for the program. If you're using the application to research fundamental ideas in autonomy, then that's perfectly valid.
Thank you. Thank you for the clarifications.
The next question comes from Guy Hoffman. Your line is open.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, Guy.
So I have two questions. One is more of a confirming I understood the human interaction aspect. There was a sort of a clarification one of the slides about interaction versus intervention. Do I understand that correctly, that the interaction should be mostly to assist the autonomy of the system and shouldn't be focused on the interaction itself? That's my first question.
I look at it slightly differently, that the system should, you know, from an autonomy standpoint, the system should be should be reasoning about the interaction. Is the interaction necessary? Should I take what the person is telling me, or should I use what my sensors are telling me? And so rather than looking at the interaction itself, you're looking at what the communication between the human and the physical system is doing to help the physical system to become more capable, more robust.
Thanks. And my second question has to do with the ethical aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Is this solicitation also looking for, in the sort of CHS meaning of human perception of ethical behavior, or is it only of the generation of ethical behavior?
I'm not quite sure what you mean by the CHS view, but I think
sorry.
The answer. Go on.
Oh, sorry. The second half of the question is really the core of it.
It's focused on the generation of ethical behavior by the autonomous system. So we're not looking, at least in this initial year, we're not looking for projects that talk about the evaluating the ethics by from a sociological point of view. We're looking for technical proposals about how we can embody ethics into an autonomous system.
All right. Thank you very much.
At this time, there are no further questions. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone, unmute your phone, record your name clearly, and I will introduce you for your question.
There was an earlier question about knowledge rich. Reed was asking for further clarifications on that one. Would you mind narrowing down that question, or we can also talk in general what do we mean by knowledge rich, if that's what the question was.
Please stand by for the next question. The next question comes from Satish Omar. Your line is open.
Hi, do you hear me?
Yes.
So in the classes of proposal, like I see in the foundational and integrative, so there is mention of characteristic or component of IPS. So what do you mean by the components of IPS? Are those the five characteristics that you were mentioning, ethical, cognizant, or is it like different aspects of IPS?
No, these are correct. So these would be the themes of research, and you are requested to follow one of them at least. You can have, if it's foundational, at least one. If it's integrative, then you may, the science there would be how we integrate any of these two themes or more than that.
Okay, thank you.
Also, I would like to inform everybody if there is another topic that you would like to consider besides these five themes that we have stated, you are requested to contact any of the program directors before this initial.
I've been informed that the person who asked the knowledge-rich question basically paraphrased it in such a way that it doesn't really provide us more information. Please dial star 1, and you can ask your question verbally. We can try and narrow down what you have in mind. If you can't do that at the moment, you can email to that. Starting tomorrow, you can email to the address given on the slides, and we will try and work with you to understand what your concerns are.
Currently, there are no further questions. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1.
Okay, I think we've gone over our hour also, so everyone's been very patient to help us through these technical challenges. Very much appreciate you your interest in the Smart and Autonomous Systems program. We have about a month and a half until the deadline. Feel free again to contact the program directors, preferably by sending to snas@nsf.gov. That'll go to all the program directors, and the person who is most capable of answering your question will respond. Please don't send questions to individual questions or the same question to each individual program director. No further questions, operator?
There are no further questions in the queue.
Okay, thank you very much for attending this webinar.
This concludes today's conference. Thank you for your attendance. You may disconnect your lines.